We're dealing with a person who wounds somebody else. The doctors think that the victim is going to die, but then the victim recovers. Then he goes back and he gets sick again and he dies. So according to the sages, the original assessment is unfortunately came out that that was the case. First wound was a bad wound. Proof, he died, so he's a murderer. Rabbi Nechemia says no. Rabbi Nechemia says, well, he recovered. Then he died. So the fact that he recovered, that indicated that it wasn't the wound that killed him, it's something else that killed him. So that's the argument. Dying, recovered, that's the question, right? Does Halacha rely on doctors? So dying, recovered, and then dying, then died. So do we say that it's okay, it's the original wound, or do we say, no, now it must be that he died from something else, and therefore the murderer is not the murderer? That was the Mishnah, that was the argument. So the Braisa said, Rabbi Nechemia learned this from a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Im Yakum Al Mishanto, if he will recover, if he will walk on his walking staff, then Vinika Maket, then the one who hits him is innocent. Of course, right? If the guy's walking around, how could you think that a guy is going to be killed? So Rabbi Nechemia says, the Pasuk's point is to tell you that if it was that the doctor said he was dying, and then he recovered, and then he ended up dying, even in that case, he's exempt. So what are the Rabbanim going to do? So they'll say, no. And he come, akes, to tell you something else. If somebody hits, and there's a victim here, we don't know if he's going to die or not. So we put the aggressor in jail to wait and see, because we don't know if this aggressor deserves to die or not. Rabbi Nechemia can't learn that we learn jail from the idea of v'nikah makeh, because he already used v'nikah makeh to say that if a guy recovers for a moment, then he's not, then the killer's not going to be killed. So he'll tell you the idea of jail is learned out from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu put the mekoshei sheitzim, the man who lit the fires on Shabbos, in jail to see what would happen to him. There is, as we'll see, there is jail. Yeah, not jail the way we have it, but there is jail in these cases.
Not as a punishment.
It can be a punishment. Yeah. We'll see. That's today's daf. And the Rabbana will tell you, why didn't they learn from the Mekoshesh, right? I mean, why do they have to learn it from this Pasuk of an Ikamakeh? So they'll tell you the Mekoshesh is not a good scenario, because there, when he gathered the wood right away, when he lit the fires, it was clear he was going to be killed, because the Torah says, Machalaleh mos yumos, he who desecrates the Sabbath is put to death. So they knew he was going to be put to death, they just didn't know which death. Here, when someone hits his friend, and his friend is now badly wounded, we don't know if he's going to be put to death yet, depends what happens to the friend. So it wouldn't be a source that you could put someone who we don't know is deserving of death into jail. So that's why they couldn't learn from the Mekoshesh, and they need to use this Pasuk, V'nikah makeh, to teach me about the jail. So one second, the Gemara says, well, that's a good question, even according to Rabbi Nechemia, why is he learning from the Mekoshesh? The Mekoshesh was someone who we knew was going to be put to death. So the Gemara answers, okay, you're right, Rabbi Nechemia doesn't learn from the Mekoshesh, he learns from a different case in the Torah where there was jail, the man who went and cursed God's name, the Megadeth. So the Gemara says, okay, so the Rabbanan, so why wouldn't they learn from the Megadeth? Why do they need it for the, why do they need the Pasuk? So they'll tell you, no, Megadeth wasn't really a proof to anything. They didn't even know if he deserved death. They didn't know, let's see, they didn't know anything. So they just, at a one-time moment, they put him into jail. They knew he did something terrible. It's like, let's see from God what he's supposed to happen to him. But that wouldn't be a proof to the case of the murderer. As we learned, you know, Bryce of the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the Mekoshesh, the one who lit the fires on Shabbos, deserves death, because it already had said, Mechaleh mos yumos, he who desecrates the Shabbos is put to death. He just didn't know which death. Kilo porash maya selo. But in the case of the Megadeth, Torah doesn't say that he was put into jail because lo porash maya selo. It was vayinichu b'mishmar, they put him in jail. Lefaresh lem al pi Hashem, so that God would explain to them. They didn't know anything whether he deserves death at all. That's what we had gotten up to yesterday. There are different opinions, what it was, whether he lit the fires, he gathered the wood.
Gathering
is a problem when you have freshly cut fruit. You can't gather the fruit into a pile in a field. It's called ma'amer. Could be it was Hotza, maybe he gathered the wood and he carried it out from an enclosure into a public domain. There are different opinions what his malacha was. This is where he had gotten up to. So now the Gemara says, Bishmal, the Rabbi Nechemiah, I understand according to Rabbi Nechemiah, who holds in our Mishnah, that if a man, you know, badly wounds somebody else, and the doctors say the guy's going to die, then the doctors say, hey, he's recovered, or he's recovering, and then he turns and takes a turn for the worse. So Rabbi Nechemiah says that the aggressor is off the hook. So I can understand according to Rabbi Nechemiah, that's what the Pasuk says, it talks about two different scenarios of a guy recovering. It says im yakum, right? If he gets up, then he kamake, then the one who hits him will be exempted. And it also says v'lo yamus v'nafala mishkav, and if he doesn't die and he falls and gets is just in bed. So then the one who hits him pays. He doesn't get killed. Fine. So you have two different phrases. So chad is amdu lemisa. So one phrase is to say that if he was assessed, the victim was assessed that he was going to die, v'chaya, and then he recovered, that the aggressor is not killed. V'chad, and the other is amdu lemisa v'hekel mimas shahaya. The other case is that he was assessed that he was going to die, and he got better for a short period, and then he went back and he actually died. And to say again that he gets exempted. El Rabbanan, but according to the Rabbanan, Trei Umdini Lamali, why does the Torah have to talk about two different scenarios of a man not dying? According to the Rabbanan, I can understand that you could have one scenario, that if the man was badly wounded, but then he seemed like he was going to die, but then he recovered, the aggressor doesn't get killed. But there isn't the second scenario, that if he's badly wounded, seems like he's going to die, then he recovers, and then again he actually gets worse again, and he dies, and he's exempt, because then he's not exempt. So my answer is, no, we do need two scenarios. One is that even when an aggressor hits him badly and all the doctors think the guy's going to die, that's not enough. He has to actually die. So if he actually recovers, the aggressor doesn't get killed. In the second scenario, is let's say he hit his friend and the doctor said he's going to live. He's badly hurt, but he's going to live. And then he turns around and he actually dies. That's also a chiddush, but in that case, we also don't kill the aggressor, because since the doctors initially said it wasn't an act that was going to kill, it's not called kedei lahamit. It wasn't an act of enough to kill. The act, by some fluke, he died. Okay, but that doesn't mean that the aggressor is a murderer.
The doctor's acting like a Beit Din and
the doctors and have a say. That's right,
so
right?
Saying he's innocent, so then you can't make him guilty.
He doesn't later become guilty. That's right. According to that. Now the Gemara asks Rabbi Nechemiah. So according to Rabbi Nechemiah, he should also need it for these two reasons. So he'll tell you like this, Amdu l'chaim u'meis lo tzarech kra. In that latter case where the doctor said he's going to live and he ends up dying, we don't need a pasuk to say that he's exempt. As Roger said, Sharei yatzami bezdin zakai, because when the court first dealt with the scenario, they say, hey, this guy is innocent. This guy's not a murderer, because he just wounded him very badly. Later he dies. Okay, so once the court already says he's innocent, so it's like the idea that we saw before. Once a guy's been innocent, we're not going to bring him back to convict.
Well, the medical guys are really perfect, expert witnesses.
They are experts, that's right. Mumchen, that's right. They're experts.
But isn't this guy liable for damages?
Yes, for sure. For sure he has to pay for damages, that's right.
And he's not, you know, say he does this several times, he's not put in a class of dangerous people.
More.
He's just
walking. Could be. If he is, then maybe he would be. That's right. Yeah. We've seen that the courts have the right to go outside of the judicial norms for communal or societal needs to create peace. They could, yeah. They could. Tanu Rabbanu Hilchot Braisa. Hamakas Chaveiro. Let's say Reuven hits his friend very badly. V'amdu l'misa. The doctors say the friend is going to die. V'chaya. But the friend recovered. Potunoso. So then we don't make Reuven killed because he didn't end up killing. Amdu l'misa. Let's say the assessment was that Shimon was going to die. Ve'heikul mimashahaya, Shimon got better from where he was at. So now, omdin oso, omachin lamamo. So now we have to do a new assessment to figure out how much Reuven has to pay, right? He has to pay for the doctor bills, for the pain, for the embarrassment, for the reduced value, for the lost wages. Vim liachar kein, hichbedu meis, and then Shimon again gets sick and he dies. Halechachar omerem tzayi. So again, Reuven's not going to be killed, like Rabbi Nechemya, but Reuven will have to pay. This is the view of Rabbi Nechemya. However, Chacham say no. Ein omed achar omed. Since initially he was assessed to die. And he actually did die. So the fact that there was a second assessment in between that he's going to live and there should be damages is irrelevant. Once he died, that proved that the original assessment was right. That's like the Mishnah. And he does get put to death, according to the Chachamim. That's right. That's the whole argument here. That's correct. We paskin no, I do. I think we do paskin.
Well,
like
that.
We do paskin like that.
We do?
I think so, yeah. No, we don't paskin like that. Tanya Yidok, we're going to another braisa. Somebody hits his friend. Amdu lemisa, and the doctors assessed the victim and he was going to die from the blow. Now, omdin oso l'chayim, and now he's recovered somewhat, so they assessed that he's going to live. But l'chayim, if they initially assessed that he was going to live, ain omdin oso l'misa, now he gets worse. They're not going to make a new assessment to say he's going to die, since they had originally assessed he was going to live. So now he is always going to get off the hook. Amdu lemisa, if originally there was an assessment that he was going to die. Ve'heklu mashahaya, then there was an assessment that he was going to live. Omdeno, so omachin limamo. So now we make the assessment of a financial penalty. Im liacha kein hichbedu meis, and if in the end he dies, mishalim nezek vitzar. So then all the payments for damaging another person, damage, pain, lost wages, shame, doctor bills, it's all paid, liyorshim, it's all paid to the heirs. Again, this is all according to Rabbi Nechemya. Meimasai Mishalim, and from what time does he pay? Misha Sheiko, in other words, what was he worth before he was hit? Not what was he worth at the time that he was recovering. Ustama, so here you have a braisa without saying who it is, which is like Rabbi Nechemya. Rabbi Nechemya, this is the view of Rabbi Nechemya, that if someone recovers in between, he's not going to be put to death, but he will be paying for all the damages that he caused. Okay, that's that discussion. Now we're on to the next Mishnah. So we've learned that the definition of murder is that the murderer does an act sheyesh ba kedei lahamit. There's enough violence in this act that intrinsically this act should have killed this victim. Niskaven laroga sabeima. Let's say a person throws a stone at an animal looking to kill the animal. But the animal ducks v'haraga sa'adam, and instead the stone falls on a person's head and it kills the person. Lo'ovid kochavim, he was trying to throw a stone on a non-Jew to kill him. The non-Jew got out of the way, and it ended up killing a Jew. He had in front of him a baby before 30 days. Let's say a two-week-old baby. He threw the stone in a phalem to try to kill the two-week-old baby. V'haragas ben kayama. And he ended up killing a healthy child. So again, in all of these cases, Potter, even though he ended up killing a person that normally it would be murder to kill that person, but he wasn't trying to kill this person, he was trying to kill somebody else. So on this person, he's considered a shogeg. He's considered a mistaken, inadvertent killer. And therefore, he's not a murderer who's going to be beheaded. What happens, though, if it was different? He's throwing a stone at a person's hips, and it's strong enough to kill him on the hips. But this such a blow, were it to hit the hips, would not kill someone. But the guy moved. So the stone ends up hitting the chest. And there is enough force in such a stone to kill by hitting the heart. Umeis and the victim did in fact die. Pater. So again, he's exempt because he wasn't trying to kill. He was trying to wound. So in terms of killing, he's considered a shogig, inadvertent. Let's say he's trying to throw the stone onto the chest. And the stone does have enough power to kill were it to hit the chest. This act intrinsically should kill. But it ended up hitting the thighs. More normal people would not have died from such a blow to their thigh. But this guy wasn't normal, this victim. Umeis, he died. So now, Potter, again, the one who threw the rock is exempt because the rock that he threw was not an act that should have killed. Let's say you have two people in front of him and he's throwing a stone. Niskavin lakos is hagadol. He's trying with this stone to hit the big guy. Had it hit the big guy, most people like this wouldn't have died from such a stone. But it ended up hitting a small guy. And it does have enough to hit and kill a small guy. Umeis, the small guy dies. Patri is exempt, because again, that wasn't what he was trying to do. However, if he's throwing the stone on a small guy, and such a stone can normally kill a small guy. But it ended up going on to the big guy. Doesn't have enough strength to kill the big guy. Umeis, but this big guy dies from it. So Patri is exempt, because his act was not should not have killed such a big guy. But if he's trying to throw it at somebody's thighs, but it's such a big stone, and there's so much force that it could kill a person by hitting the thighs. Then it hit the chest. Certainly it could kill by hitting the chest. Umeis, in fact, the guy did die. Then he is guilty, because he did an act with the intent to kill. The act had the ability to kill. It ended up being a different act. Okay, but that different act is included in this big act. So therefore, throws a big stone at Sagadol. Miskavin lakos Sagadol, to hit a big guy. And the stone is big enough to kill the big guy. But it ends up going on a small guy who mays, and the small guy dies. If again, he's guilty. However, Rabbi Shimon says, even in this case, he's exempt. Even if he's trying to kill one man. He ends up killing another person. Patri is exempt, because he's only guilty if he killed the person he was trying to kill.
In the way that he...
So let's see. So now the Gemara asks, Rabbi Shimon, ahai, which part of the Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon referring to? Ilei ma'aseif, if it's referring to the end of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says a guy who's trying to kill a big guy and ends up killing a small guy is guilty. So Rabbi Shimon is coming to say, no, since he wasn't trying to kill the small guy, he's exempt. Rabbi Shimon, poter miboilet. The Mishnah just said Rabbi Shimon exempts. Why does the Mishnah go back and say, no, the whole case, even if he's trying to kill one, but he ends up killing someone else is exempt. That's exactly the point of what we're dealing with. That's the case. Ella, so must be Rabbi Shimon is referring to the beginning of the Mishnah, Aresha. In the beginning of the Mishnah said, Niskavin l'argas habehem of argas ha'adam, if he's trying to kill an animal, he throws a stone at an animal, but a person dies from it. Lovit kochav, he threw a stone at a Gentile, v'argas ha'yisrael, but a Jew died from it. Lenefalim, he threw the stone at the babies that are 2 weeks old. V'argas ben kayami, killed babies that were 2 years old. Patri is exempt. So it sounds like because he was trying to kill someone who he's pater on, and he ended up killing someone who he's chayiv on, he's still exempt. Implying if he would be trying to kill someone he's chayiv for, and end up killing someone else he's chayiv for, he would be chayiv, he would be guilty. If he's trying to kill someone he's guilty for, and he ended up killing someone else he's guilty for, he would be guilty. That's the implication. If he's trying to kill one Jew, or one two-year-old child, and kills a different two-year-old child, he kills another one, chayiv, he is guilty. So on that, Rabbi Shimon says, no, Potter. Even if he's trying to kill one, he ends up killing somebody else, he is exempt. But Rabbi Shimon is not arguing with the latter case of the Mishnah.
So is he arguing with the first case then? It sounds like the same thing.
He's arguing with the implication from the first case.
Rabbi, what's the difference between the status of an infant that's 1 month or
less than a month? No, because if it's less than a month, it hasn't yet been viable. So that's not considered a person.
We spoke about the other day about, an abortion, if it comes through the birthing canal, I think.
That's right.
That it's a... Like a living...
A human, that's right.
So what's the 1 month in vitro, what's the difference here?
That's a good point. Maybe here it's referring to even more than just that he's less than a month old. It's also that he's from a premature pregnancy, so he won't survive. So we know he's not going to survive.
30 days, the assumption is he won't survive?
He may not survive.
They say it's a non-viable baby.
Non-viable baby. Okay, good. Thank you. So it's a non-viable baby because it was from a premature pregnancy. It's going to die anyway. That's what we're talking about here.
Intent is important.
Yeah. Now, the Gemara is like this. Pshita, it's obvious. Kai Reuven and Shimon. If Reuven and Shimon are standing in front of a guy, V'amar, and the stone thrower says, Ana l'Reuven kamachavna, I'm trying to kill Reuven. L'Shimon lo kamachavna, I don't want to kill Shimon. And the stone goes and kills Shimon when he throws it. Hainu pluktai, that's the argument. Rabbi Shimon holds he's exempt. Tanakama holds he's still chayv. What happens if he said, Amar, I'm throwing this stone. L'chadminai, to kill one of them, I don't care which one. So now would Rabbi Shimon also say he's exempt because he's not in particular aiming for one person? Or maybe here Rabbi Shimon would agree that he's guilty. Inami, another problem. He says he's throwing a stone, Kasava Reuven, because he thought he was throwing it at Reuven. But Nimtza Shimon, it turns out he was throwing it at Shimon. So he was trying to do this act, he just thought it was somebody else. So my, what's the halacha now? Maybe this is considered an act of murder. Tashma, come in here, proof. The time looked in a brayso. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon says he's only guilty at Shiomer Liploni ani machavein, unless he says I'm intending for this person and he kills this person. But if he's intending for one and he kills somebody else, then he would be exempt.
What if he killed both of them, according to Rabbi Shimon? Since he didn't have specific intent on either.
Well, but the one he had intent for, he
by definition.
Yes, and it'd be a murder on that.
What happens if he doesn't have intent for anyone, just to kill anybody?
He just posts on his Facebook page, I'm going to kill somebody.
He shoots into a crowd.
According to Rabbi Shimon, he's not put to death. That's right.
He's got to have a specific person?
That's according to Rabbi Shimon. My time to Rabbi Shimon. What's the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon? Amar Kar, because the Pasuk says, V'chiyah ish sonel re'ehu. If there will be a man who hates his friend, va'arav lo, and he'll lay in ambush against the friend, v'kam alav, and rise against the friend, and he will kill him. So the words are va'arav lo, he has to lay in wait in ambush. Achi eskavein lo, he has to have an intention for this particular person, according to Rabbi Shimon. Now the Rabbanan disagree. So Rabbanan, what do they do with those words, va'arav lo? Amri debei Rabbi Yanai, they answered in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai. They learned from Va'arav Lo, Prat Lazorik Evan Lagav, that if he throws a stone into a whole group, and in that group there are Jews and there are non-Jews, and ends up a Jew gets killed, then he would not be a murderer, because it's not precise enough. So Gemara says, Hey Chidami, what's this case of throwing a stone into a group that the Chachamim say is not a murderer? If nine of them are non-Jews, ve'echad Yisrael b'neim, and only one of them is a Jew. So what do I need a pasuk? Typically, deruba kutim ninu. Most of the people here are non-Jews, so the act is defined as an attempt to kill a non-Jew, which is not an act of murder. Inami or else palgo, palgo, even if it's half and half. Half Jews, half non-Jews. Safik nefashas lahaka. So then we don't know whether it was an act of murder. It's a 50-50 chance. So we have to be lenient. How can we put someone to death based on a chance? The point is, even if it is nine Jews and only one non-Jew, and he throws a stone there, since havale kuti kavua, since the non-Jew is set, he's established there, kol kavua kemechza mechza dami. Whenever you have a case of a minority that is permanent, it's treated as if it's 50%, and therefore it's treated like a safek, and we can't put the man who throws the stone into this group to death.
Rabbi, how do we reconcile the incredible leniency about, you know, actually putting somebody to death in case of a murder, even accidental, with the risk that, you know, somebody gets mad and, you know, starts killing somebody?
Well, I think the fact that the courts always have the abilities to kill people for the sake of the community, if they see that risk happening, they can, you know, extrajudicially kill people. And also we rely on God, that God's going to kill these murderers. We don't have to be the ones to do it. We want to be very careful.
Why was not in Las Vegas? He didn't have an intent to kill any specific person.
According to Rabbi Shimon, he would be examined. But we have to remember, he's a non-Jew. So a non-Jew who even steals half a penny gets killed. So a guy, a non-Jew who kills, is certainly killed.
But if it was a Jewish situation, according to Rabbi Shimon, he would be exempt.
Maybe he wouldn't die, yeah.
He wouldn't even be able to pay monetarily to...
No, so once you kill, there's no payment.
Once you kill, there's not even payment?
No.
So he just goes to that refuge?
Maybe they would, maybe they'd put him in jail till he starves to death. We'll see.
But what's this idea of the whole kavuah matzah matzah dummy?
Whenever you have a minority that is established, it gets treated like 50-50. It's there. You have the guy there, right? It's not that something we're asking did it separate from a majority? Where our question is focused on a stationary, static person.
So if I came from something, you'd say, you know, 50, you'd say what's the
then
you
look at the majority. But here, when you say what happened, what was going on in that group, and we know for sure in that group at least one was not a case of murder. So now we say it's a 50% chance that it wasn't murder.
Why, if you kill a non-Jew, it's all right?
Not that it's all right. It's just not doesn't get punished with murder. It doesn't get punished as murder.
It says here in the commentary that pre-adoption of sort of monotheistic morality, that this was the case. But since that we don't really hold like that. It says the sages of our generation were troubled by this passage and addressed the culpability of a Jew for the murder of a Gentile. One explanation is that of the Miri, who explained that sages in the Talmud were referring to pagans whose way of life was completely lacking of ethical and moral constraints.
Interesting. So the Gemara now asks, Bishmal the Rabbanan to Amin is Kavin Laro Gesev Ar Gesechayev. I understand according to the Rabbanan who say that if someone's trying to kill one, he kills somebody else, he's still guilty. Now I understand the pasuk. The Torah talks about a man, two men who are fighting, and the fetus gets lost, right? And two people are fighting, and a woman walking by who's pregnant gets damaged. We're talking about two people who are trying to kill each other. Because the pasuk says that if the woman doesn't just get damaged, but she gets killed, then give a life. The one who hits her should give up his life. He should die. So it must be that they were trying to kill. Otherwise, why would somebody die for the fact that a woman died? El Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, he says when you're trying to kill one person and you ended up killing somebody else, you don't get killed because it's only you have to target that guy. What's he going to talk about? What's the case over there? So Gemara says what he will do with it is that the man who causes the woman to die when he's trying to kill his friend, he doesn't actually die, means mamon. He has to pay for her value to her children. Ukidi Rebbe, and that's like the view of Rebbe. The Tanya is linked in a Brisa of Rebbe Omer, from Asata Nefesh Tachas Nafesh, when the Torah says two people fighting, and Reuven's trying to hit Shimon with a stone. Instead, he hits a woman who's walking by who's pregnant, and she dies. The Torah says you put a soul under the soul. It means mamon. It just means you pay for the value of the woman. At Omer Mammon, you're saying that her children get money, compensation. Maybe it means that the aggressor gets killed. The answer is Namr Nasina Lamata. It says Vinasata, and you will give. And Namr, it says Nasina Lamala. It says giving earlier, right? In case she loses the fetuses. So Malahal, and just like over there, it's Mamon, it's money. Afkan, so to hear Mamon, it is money. Amar Rava said, Hai Ditana Debei Chizkia. This Braisa taught in the Yeshiva of Chizkia, Mafkami de Rabbi, is against this view of Rabbi. Umafkami de Rabbanan, it's also against the view of the Rabbanan, who hold that if someone's trying to kill one person, he kills somebody else, he gets put to death. The Tana de Bechizkia and the Braisa from the Yeshiva of Chizkia, they said like this. The Pasuk says, Make Adamu Make Behima, one who hits an animal, or one who kills an animal, one who kills a person. So the Torah then says, one who kills the animal pays for it. One who kills the person dies. So Chazal say like this, the fact that there is a linkage in the pasuk between killing an animal to killing a person, ma maka behema lo chilakta bein shogeg lemezid, when it comes to killing an animal, whether it was inadvertent or on purpose, you have to pay. Whether you were trying to kill the animal or not trying to, you have to pay. Whether the animal dies because you were lifting your arm or lowering your arm, in all cases, you have to pay. We don't ever exempt from payment. We always say you have to pay. So too, when it comes to killing a person, there is no difference between mistake or on purpose. Trying to kill this person, not trying to kill this person. Whether he kills him by putting his arm down, kills him by putting his arm up. In none of these cases are we going to say he has to pay. But in all of these cases, he doesn't have to pay. What does it mean? Even when he doesn't have intent, he doesn't have to pay. He wasn't trying to kill. That's the same thing as making a mistake. He wasn't trying to kill this one. He was trying to kill somebody else. Nevertheless, the Braisa says, that in all these cases, he's not going to have to pay money. He's going to be exempt from money. Now, if he anyway is getting killed because he was trying to kill someone, he was trying to kill Reuven, he ends up killing Shimon. If you're going to say he gets killed, why do I need a pasuk to say he doesn't have to pay money? Of course, he's going to be killed. You see, and according to Tanit Bechizkiya Lav Bar Ketalehu, he's not going to be killed. And nevertheless, this is the pasuk that compares him to one who kills an animal, to say the Lav Bar Mamonu, he doesn't pay money. As Rabbi Shamson Raphael Hirsch explains, according to Tanit Bechizkiya, there is a lesson here about the value of a human life. That if a human life was taken, even though it's not murder, because it wasn't a deliberate act, etc., but there can't be the payment of money, because that would be an insult to the value of human life, as if human life can be compensated with money. There can't be a payment of money. There's no payment at all of money.
The family could be compensated. By the loss of the income.
Interesting, right. But maybe that might also be an insult, according to Tanya the Bechizkiya, to the value of the human life. So, you know, if the family is compensated, that's not a Torah obligation. That's a different obligation, maybe.
So what happens to this guy?
Let's see the next Mishnah. That might give us some color here.
So Rabbi Shimon is very
lenient.
Lenient, yeah.
So the next Mishnah does introduce a concept of Jewish jail. Rotzeach. Let's say you have a murderer, and he was convicted, and the court said he should be put to death. Shenisarev b'achim. He got mixed up with others. We'll have to see. It doesn't mean he gets mixed up with other innocent people. He got mixed up, let's say, with other murderers. So now kulan p'turim. We can't kill them all. However, Rabbi Yehuda says we have another option. Even if we can't kill them, konsan osan lekipa, we put them into this small little cell. And in this cell, we give them little bits of food. Eventually, their stomachs contract. Then we give them barley bread, and they die from the barley bread. Whenever you have a situation of different people deserving of death, and they get mixed up with each other. We don't know now who's who. Nidon and Bakala, we have to give them the most lenient death. So therefore, Haniskalim, let's say there were those who had been convicted and deserved stoning, and they get mixed up with Nisrafim, those who are deserving burning. Rabbi Shimon holds that burning is worse than stoning, so they all get stoned. Chacham Omni Donim is Shefa. Chacham said they all get burned, Shaskila Chamura, because they think stoning is worse than burning.
Where does the starvation come into? That's not one of them.
So starvation.
That's worse than all of them.
So it's not. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not sure it's totally starvation. It's to slowly, you know, reduce the guy's appetite by giving him less and less. And then they put in front of him barley bread, and he eats it. It's not forced on him. He's dying by himself. This is another way of death.
He expands his stomach.
Right. The punishment would be burning, because the Chacham holds skila chamura, that stoning is worse. Amalem Rabbi Shimon said to the Chacham, Ilu lo eisa sreifa chamura, onitn labas kohen shezinta. If burning wouldn't be worse than stoning, it wouldn't be given to the daughter of the kohen who's disloyal. Amalo, the sages said back, no, ilu lo eisa skila chamura, if stoning wouldn't have been stricter, lo nitn lemagadif lo ovid avodas kochavim, it wouldn't have been given to a person who insults God by cursing God or worshipping idols. If people who are being killed, who deserve death by beheading, get mixed up with those who are to be choked, if they get beheaded, because that's less, Chacham say they get choked. Says the Gemara, Manachem, who's this murderer who gets mixed up with others? He gets up mixed up with others who weren't innocent. So Pshita, you can't kill them. How can Rabbi Yehuda say in this case we put them in a jail? So Amar Bavo, Amar Shmuel, Rabavo is the name of Shmuel, Hacha Birotseach. We're talking about a murderer. If the court has decided he is guilty, but Shalo Nigmar Dino, but they didn't actually convict. And he gets mixed up with other murderers who were actually convicted. And now we can't recognize him. Rabbanan Savri and Gomer Dino Shaladam El Bafana. Rabbanan hold, you can only actually convict with the murderer in front of you, knowing that he's the murderer. Because it has to arouse mercy. So if you don't know who he is anymore, you can't convict. So we have a guy who we can't actually convict that we know is guilty. Hilchos the Rabbanan say, Kulam Turim, they all get off the hook. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Lemifterinu Lagami Namilo, you can't let them all off the hook. They're all murderers. Most of them have already been convicted. One hasn't been convicted, but we know he's a murderer. We just can't convict him anymore because we can't recognize him. So that's where Yehuda says you put them in the jail until they die. So we do have this option of someone who we know is guilty, but we can't actually punish, that according to Yehuda, we put him into a jail and we let him die on his own. Rabbi Hananya ben Akashyom.